This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin, talking with Doug Rawson. He's one of the co-directors of All in the Timing at Illinois Central College. The show continues this weekend with three more performances tonight through Sunday. Doug, good to see you.
Nice to see you as well, Nathan.
Let's talk a little bit about this show. For those who aren't familiar with it, All in the Timing is a series of six short one-act plays, all by the playwright David Ives, and then they're combined, in this instance, for a two-hour production.
Well, actually, it's shorter than 2 hours. It runs only about an hour 20 to an hour 30 minutes without an intermission. And yes, it is a series of short pieces. We're doing six of them. Over the course of the show's history, there have been some added and some subtracted over time, but we're going with kind of what is the standard format as of now.
And so there are six pieces to the show, three directors, so I'm guessing each of you directed two of those?
That's correct. Each of us directed two of the pieces.
And one that you directed is called Words, Words, Words. And this one struck me as kind of a play on that old thought experiment that if you had an infinite number of monkeys at an infinite number of typewriters, eventually one of them would write Hamlet.
Yes.
How does this play treat that concept?
Well, I think it speaks, first of all, to the more general theme of the play, which is about how important and how random timing is, and how our universe is a little entropic and falling apart. And if you let something go long enough, will it come back together or will it continue to fall apart? And I think what we see our monkeys doing is continuing to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
That timing in our lives doesn't necessarily move towards a telos or a realistic ending, but moves much more towards, oh my gosh, what do I do now? And as those monkeys continue to work, realize they're monkeys. They don't know what Hamlet is. They don't know who Shakespeare is. All they know is they've been given a mandate to write it. Much like in our lives, we've been given a mandate to live a good, happy life, right, by our parents, by everybody else. How do we do that when everything is flying at us from every direction at once? And that's what Ives, I think, is looking at, the idea of the amount of stuff in our lives that's not dictated by our own agency, but by the timing.
Well, and that theme also comes out in another one of the pieces called Sure Thing, which is, it's a man and a woman, I think, in a restaurant, and the same scene plays out, but at critical moments, something goes wrong, and then the play resets itself. It just winds back a couple of minutes and picks back up. Can you sort of explain that for someone who hasn't seen it?
Sure thing. What happens in the play is we just rewind back one sentence and find out what would have happened if two people would have met at a different time, if they would have been feeling differently, if they were unattached as opposed to attached to another, if they were reading a book and wanted to be left alone as opposed to being somewhere to meet someone. So every time we reach one of those critical points, an answer is given, then we hear a bell and go back and give another answer. And I think it's interesting that you say every time something goes wrong, because that's not necessarily the case. It's every time there's a different answer, which are two very different ways of looking at how timing works in our lives. Whether or not we get to choose what the good answer is, or whatever the answer is the answer it's going to be.
So it sounds like the play and some of these scenes in particular, what they're really about is they're looking at a scenario and then examining all of the different ways that scenario could play out. Is that fair?
I think so. I think that is what these scenarios are about. But I think bigger picture in the theme, it's about how much our life is impacted by the randomness of the way we meet things in the world, the way we encounter the world around us, when we do it, how we do it. And that in a sense, and looking at the time period that the play was constructed in, there is a real sense that our personal agency is subsumed by the randomness of the timing.
Now, is this an idea that you and the other directors have had a chance to talk at length with your actors? Or is that sort of theoretical discussion, does that kind of get pushed to the side in the need to do the business of getting the show together, the blocking and the lighting and the staging and the rehearsal process?
That's an excellent question. One of the reasons we have three directors going at this piece is that's just another step toward the randomness of looking at timing. So it would depend on the specific director. You would have to talk to them about their process. For me, I'm much more interested in the actors being in the moment, playing, you know, being present, being there, being what Stanislavski would call inspired and living in that moment, than I am them knowing all of the stuff surrounding it. Now, I have smart actors, and they do, but it's not something that we spend a lot of time in rehearsal in. Every once in a while, one of them will look at me, and you know, you'll see that beautiful, wide-eyed, learning look that says, oh, that's what this is about. That's the joy of educational theater as well, finding those moments.
Well, do you think this play is one that really lends itself to doing with college-aged actors? Because when you're 19, 20, that's when you're at that age. You're often encountering and exploring and playing with big ideas and theoretical ideas really for the first time.
I think it absolutely speaks to them because they are, as you say, at the place where they're encountering those ideas. And they're also at the place where they're invincible. They are in control of their destiny. They are agents of good or right or whatever they choose to be agents of, but they control it. And looking at a play that kind of takes them out of control is really interesting. Also, I think it's a really good play because it provides small chunks. So, you know, an actor has a 15-minute chunk rather than a three-hour chunk, and they can find within that 15-minute chunk a lot more stuff because they have the time to do that. And it allows us to get a lot of people working on stage, which is another great thing. And there are not a lot of plays of this caliber that let you do that. A lot of plays that have this many scenes and this many actors that you can really explore, and really exploring some pretty deep philosophical ideals.
Now, in a play like this, since, again, there are technically six completely separate stories, narratives going on, do you also have a kind of a mix-and-match cast where actors, you know, might be in the second one and the fifth one or the third one and the fourth one? I mean, do you have the actors coming and going quite a bit?
Very much so. There is no actor that's in more than two.
Okay.
And most of the actors are only in one. We have, I think, three or maybe four actors that participate in more than one scene. And the actors who do participate in one scene, more than one scene, participate with different directors. So a director doesn't work with the same actor in two scenes.
So it sounds like that not only maximizes the number of actors who have an opportunity to be involved, but it also creates sort of the maximum number of different kinds of interactions as you go through the process.
Absolutely. And the more people you can work with as a young actor, the more styles that you can be shown, the more you have the opportunity to pick your own way of working. So it's a great opportunity for them to work with, you know, three directors in the community as opposed to one.
Now, I'm just curious how you go about staging one production in collaboration with two other directors, because obviously each of you is responsible for your own portions of the script, but what about some of the other issues like the design elements and deciding how to light the thing and where the acting areas are, and, you know, and production choices. How do those decisions get made?
Well, those decisions get made with the designers in a group. And it's not that easy, but it's also not that difficult if you just realize the key to doing it is to simplify your idea system, and that the most important thing in a piece like this are the actors on the stage. And so as long as we've got that, we've got a lot going for us. The set designer did a wonderful job, and our lighting designer did as well at giving us specific for our pieces that set them off from each other.
And another one of the scenes that you're directing is called Variations on the Death of Trotsky, which quite literally it is the death of Leon Trotsky, the communist revolutionary. But it gives you, like a lot of these other scenes, multiple takes, multiple interpretations or representations of that death. Can you talk a little bit about what that scene is all about?
I can. I don't want to give too much away, but it's looking at all of the ways that you and or Trotsky could have assessed the moment and the 2 days of his death. It starts with, and this is a funny thing about the play and doing the play in 2015, it starts with the encyclopedia article about his death. They bring the book out on stage, and according to Mr. Ives, you're supposed to use the current date. So we get a laugh when we just say the Encyclopedia Britannica 2015, because the timing doesn't work anymore. How many of you have seen a physical encyclopedia in last 5 years? But then we look at the different ways it could have been interpreted and the different ways that it could have happened. And death is something that we will all encounter. And I think all of us would like to encounter it at some level on our own terms. And most of us won't. And so we look at all the different ways that it came to Trotsky. And in the end, we look at the way that he wishes it would have come to him. So I think that's all I really want to say about it, because you really have to see all of these different permutations until you get to the end and say, oh, wouldn't it be, well, I guess not joyous, but wouldn't it be better if it could have happened that way?
Because as I understand it, the facts of how Trotsky died are part of the historical record, and the play makes no attempt to change those. It's just each variation reinterprets them with, you know, maybe a slightly different fact pattern leading up to it. Is that fair to say?
It is. I mean, Trotsky's a historical figure, so there are people who could have wanted to assassinate him.
Mm-hmm.
He was living in Mexico, so there were people in Mexico who disagreed with his political ideals. He also could have been killed for love, could have been robbed. Any of these things could have happened, and we're not quite sure which one it was. Well, we think we are, but in the piece, we look at the different things it could have been.
Now, I'm not sure that the general public is all that familiar with David Ives as a playwright, and yet among the theater people that I know, he's held in very high regard. I mean, it's quite possible that among theater people, there aren't that many playwrights who have a better reputation. So what is it about Ives as a playwright? What is it about this show?
Well, first of all, I'll agree with you. I think it's very telling to note that it was either in the 94-95 season or the 95-96 season that David Ives in the U.S. was the most produced playwright outside of Shakespeare. So he was very produced, and this work specifically was very produced. He began looking at the theater in a different way, in a context of a series of short plays. He was known as a master of the short play format. And as you know, more and more our entertainment comes in smaller and smaller packages. If you look at, you know, our life on the television, movies are considerably shorter than they were in my youth, and my sons are watching memes. So as we look at the shortening of our attention span and the shortening of the way that we want to see things presented, Ives was one of the forerunners of that in the theater. And so we look at him as a creator of a different form. More than that, theater is moving towards overall shorter and no intermission productions. And Ives also was very much part of that movement. And at the same time, he manages to take these huge ideas, these ideas of time and of agency and all of these, you know, huge things, and put them into 15 minutes in a way that makes you question the way you've lived your life. You know, as a director, I always say, I want somebody to walk out of the theater and I want them to talk to their friends about, what's going on in my life now? I just saw a play and things have changed. And Ives makes you do that. So in those ways, he became very quickly a very important playwright in America.
Doug Rawson is one of the directors of Illinois Central College's production of All in the Timing. Performances continue tonight through Sunday at the ICC Performing Arts Center in East Peoria. Doug, break a leg.
Thanks very much.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit our website at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.